Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, and this dialogue and discussion today. We're asking the question, dealing with civil disobedience, as it is called. It's called civil disobedience. Is there ever a time? Is it ever okay for Christians to disobey what the government says? Now, I'm not talking about anarchy. I'm not talking about saying that that stop sign doesn't mean that I have to stop. I can go through it if I want to, or whatever you might want to say. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We're talking about this governmentally controlled sense today that says that we cannot continue to open our churches and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and businesses must be closed, and crush and crash the economy, destroy the livelihoods and the future and the total humanity in society today. There's a motive, there's a modus operandi that's taking place, and we need to understand that as Christians, we need to say no. And I'm concerned when we have those that are Christians saying that somehow, somewhere, we ought not to challenge civil government. It's sad that pastors and churches and Christians in general say that we should just be silent. We should just be good kids on the block. We should be silent. You'd be surprised how many times I've been told by those naysayers that, don't you realize that Christians, we just need to tell people about Jesus. Don't worry about these things. After all, God's going to take care of them in the end. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, he is. But he gives us wisdom from on high as to what we ought to do. And if God's word says that we're commanded, ladies and gentlemen, it's a command that we're to preach the gospel, then if God commands it, how can government condemn it and say that we cannot do it? That's my question. That's my challenge. That's what I'm saying to us today. And even the Pope has jumped in now. The Pope urges the coronavirus lockdown obedience amid church-state debate. Yeah, the Pope says that we need to obey the state, ladies and gentlemen. Pope Francis entered a heated church-state debate Tuesday night, calling for prudence and obedience amid the coronavirus limits on our mass and other religious services. Quote, as we are beginning to have protocols to get out of the quarantine, let us pray that the Lord gives his people and all of us the grace and the prudence to obey the protocols so that the pandemic doesn't return. Pope Francis, Tuesday of this week. Ladies and gentlemen, is that correct? Do you believe that we need to just be silent? Do you believe that it is right, biblically or constitutionally, for us to simply be silent, say nothing? The forced closure of the business and the churches across America. It's bad enough for the business to be closed by force, but then for the churches to be forced to be closed is onerous, unconstitutional. In fact, it is unconstitutional, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, for the federal government or the state governments or the local governments to simply, by fiat, say, you've got to close your business. I believe it is unconstitutional to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, so the question is very simple, very pointed. Is it ever biblically right for believers to disobey what our government officials demand or do in action? So where do we find the answer? We go to the Word of God. God's Word gives us the answer as to what we ought to do, the Bible. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 through 22. No, we're not going to do a full-length Bible study, but I'm going to use several examples of what we ought to realize and do. Ladies and gentlemen, in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. It was very, very clear that the king had given orders to the midwives in that era. The midwives, many times, rather than a nurse, would be helping the mother give birth to the baby. And the government ordered that the baby boys be killed. You recall that story if you've read anything in the Bible. The scripture says, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one of them was Sapphira, and the other name was Pura. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. Ladies and gentlemen, the word feared God means to honor God. It means obeying God. It means to have awe, A-W-E, and respect to what God says. They feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they are delivered, ere the midwives come in to them." In other words, they lied to the king. They said, you know, the Hebrew women give birth more quickly than the other women, and therefore, before we get in to assist them, they've already given birth. Then the scripture goes on, "Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared, honored, obeyed, trusted God, and he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, 'Every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.'" Ladies and gentlemen, you find then in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, and following, the story of Moses. Moses was birthed, and he should have been put to death, but because his mother and his sister decided that they're going to hide Moses, they did so. You know the story. He was hidden in what's called the bulrushes in a little basket, and his life was spared. Now, what if they had obeyed the Pharaoh of that day? The story of Moses and all that we have in the scripture in relationship to what Moses has given us to the Word of God would be vacuous, void, and non-existent. Ladies and gentlemen, as baby Moses was hidden by his mother to deliver him from death as ordered by the king, by the Pharaoh, it said, they obeyed God rather than government. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't go any further, if I didn't have any other fundamental, foundational, biblical answer than that, that would be sufficient to say that that's what we ought to understand as Christians today. We need to understand that it's our responsibility to obey God rather than government. Now, I'm not saying going out and being having anarchy that we rise up as people and say, we're going to be a free people, we're not going to obey the Constitution, we're not going to obey God, we're not going to do these things. There are a lot of folks today, ladies and gentlemen, that have the philosophy that we're not going to obey any governmental order. There's some today that refuse to get a license plate in the car. There's some today that refuse to get a driver's license. Some today that refuse to have any recognition of any authority for the federal or the state governments. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not the philosophy that I hold. That's not what the Word of God says. But it is very, very clear if the government says to do something that's antithetical to, that is unbiblical, that is non-authoritative from God, that is against what God says, then we ought to obey God, not government. And that's exactly what you see starting in the scripture here in the Exodus text. And may I say, that's a good primer for us to, or primer, I believe, as it would be a term for us to go to as a basics for what we do in relationship to that question, whether we should be silent, whether we should just sit in silence, or whether we should say something or do something. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what we've been brought to, and America has been brought to our knees, America has been brought to a screeching halt, both societally, both commercially and spiritually, we've been brought to our knees as a nation. And I would have never believed 6 months ago that it would be possible for a federal or state governmental agency to say, shut your doors, businessman. You cannot open your barbershop. You cannot open your beauty shop. You cannot open your clothing shop. You cannot open your shoe shop. You cannot do business because we say so. I want to know first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, where the constitutionalists in America that's standing and screaming, Christian constitutionalists that are saying we ought to obey God and God's word. I have said for weeks and weeks and weeks now, ladies and gentlemen, if we take about 10,000, about 100,000 businessmen that will forcefully say we're going to open our doors, there's not enough jail cells to hold us all. You say, well, that's a bad statement to make. No, I'm just simply saying that we need to obey God. We need to recognize our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the rights that we have, and not think that somehow, some way, need to cower in a closet and hide under the bed. When you look at the statistics, ladies and gentlemen, the percentages of population who have not died from the coronavirus. I'm looking at a chart, and I'll not go down. I'll just read the numbers, not go down the state by state. But for example, in America, 99.983% that got the coronavirus did not die. 99.983%. Ladies and gentlemen, go back and analyze. the H1N1, the swine flu, go back and look at all of the other flus that we've had to pop up in the past 30, 40, 50 years. And this percentage is right in line with the percentages of almost every other flu virus that is taken hold in America. And I could go down the list, 99.994, 99.956, 99.957, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe this will change our perspective if we look at the numbers that we're not being told by the state or federal government. We're certainly not being told by the Communist Network News. We're certainly not being told by any of the MSNBC hosts or those that are wanting you to stay in panic and hysteria. We're not being told, ladies and gentlemen, that the facts that we've been given are actually fallacious and flawed and fanciful numbers simply to cause America to shut down and say yes to government. Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2 are very, very vivid indications, ladies and gentlemen, of what those back in that era believed that ought to be done in relationship to being disobedient to government when it was against what God would say and how God would have us to live and what God would have us to do. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, civil disobedience. Is it ever okay to disobey the government? That telephone number is 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear your opinion, your thoughts. Do you have other philosophies that you adhere to that do not go along with the Word of God? Daniel chapter 3, ladies and gentlemen, is a wonderful chapter. There's not but 30 verses in the chapter. General, and I'm preaching through the Bible books at the time, and I'm in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3 with the 30 verses. That's one message, one hour and a half in the pulpit, one message. But in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30, we've all heard the story about the three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the story is this, and I'll just simply tell you the story. You can go back and read it for yourself. The king had set up a gigantic image in the plains of Dura, and doing so, it was a gigantic statue. It was a false god. And he said, when you hear the band playing, I want everybody to bow down and worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked out among the great throngs of people and saw multiplied thousands upon thousands falling down and worshiping that image. They refused to do so. They reported. The king called them in to chide them. They refused to bow to that false god. The king called him in and said, boys, I'm going to give you another opportunity, give you another chance. When the music plays, I want you to bow down and worship. And if you don't, then you got to pay the price. The penalty would be being placed in the fiery furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, they responded to the king. We don't know what you're thinking, what you're saying, and what you're doing. But they said in the 17th verse, if be so, God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if he doesn't, if not, that is, if the God doesn't deliver us, he says, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So he warned them. First of all, they didn't bow. He warned them. They didn't bend. And then finally, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. You know the rest of the story. They wrung their hands and they screamed and cried as the fire burned them up. No, it didn't. That wasn't what happened. They refused to bow. They refused to bend. And as a result of that, God wouldn't allow them to burn. And when you study the text, you find one as the Son of God walking around in the fiery furnace, protecting them there. Because they were obedient to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a soft, as Dr. J. Vernon McGee called so many years ago, a panty-waist society today, where Christian men won't stand up. Christian men will not obey God and say we're going to obey God and not men. That's the reason we find across America today, our churches have been totally changed forever. According to the Barna Report, some 57% to 60% of those that have stopped going to church will never go back in church again. They'll simply want to sit back and continue to listen by way of radio or television. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood.
Hello, yes. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, just a thanks to you for preaching the truth and having the courage and preaching God's word throughout this. Who listen to you totally appreciate the courage that it's taken for you to stand and to preach truth. So thank you. So my comment is that that was a question in our Bible study yesterday. We have continued our Bible study via, you know, the internet. It's just a bunch of women, but I have been a proponent of continuing to work because of everything the Bible says about that. We are not to bow down to false information, false rules, false government. And I cannot tell you what a blessing it has been for me to work this entire time. I own my own business. I'm in people's homes. I'm in every store. I have not worn a mask. I have not worn any gloves. I have preached the gospel by being courageous and kind because I view my business as a ministry. And I think that's one of the fundamental issues here, that Christians don't realize that their business is their ministry, because that's where God has placed them, to preach the word by how you treat people, how you run your business, and the integrity that you have. So I have not bowed down, and God has overly blessed me. We have not bowed down in our neighborhood. We held an Easter service outside. We printed up programs. I had over 25 neighbors come stand at a cross outside to enjoy the best news on Easter morning. I will not bow down. And the government is acting just like a homeowners association, which to me is an unholy organization. It's people who aren't elected that try to rule your life without any vote, without you having any voice. And I feel like that's how the government is trying to merge this kind of unholy combination of businesses and government together without our say so.
Absolutely. And if I can jump in, absolutely what they're doing, it's ushering in the socialist, Marxist, communist system of government. We are trying to eviscerate, to destroy, to absolutely put out of sight the constitutional republic form of government that we have with a representative form of government. They're trying to just absolutely destroy that and stand up the shadow government.
And the other thing is, God's given us the wisdom to find out the truth. And praise God, we still can find out the truth through God's word, searching the internet for what is actually true as far as, like you've said, with the facts. I just listened to a video that is still on YouTube by a doctor, two doctors who are saying, actually, being away from people weakens your immune system, you know, and he laid it out from a baby's time up until an adult. And that is what they're trying to do. The 6 feet away, stay inside, wipe down everything. The longer you do that, the weaker your immunity system is.
As long as they do that, if they can do that, and if they can force that upon us, what will happen will be a reoccurrence and a surge of this virus in the fall, of which they won't, so that they can have then the demand for a write-in vote rather than going to the voting booth and voting.
Correct. I have not worn gloves. I have not worn a mask. And the other thing you were saying about the emasculization or demasculization of men, I have never seen so many fearful men walking around, not being leaders, not being brave, from young to old. I just don't understand it. But we need to stay strong. We need to speak. We need to pay attention to our local, county, state, and federal government and not sit back and let others vote for us. We need to, you know, take the right that people have died and shed blood for us to be on top of who we give this awesome responsibility of servanthood in the government, which they have totally forgotten. They are our servants. We are not their servants. So keep on preaching the good word. As far as the churches go, I'm so disappointed to see that we've rolled over, that so many churches have rolled over and not demanded.
It is so sad, because what we've done, we have voluntarily surrendered our constitutional, biblical, God-given rights to stand and preach the word of God without fear and without favor, and to obey Him first.
And the mosques have been open the entire time.
Yes.
Right? DeMaz,
and Comrade DeMaz, Comrade de Blasio in New York threatens the Jewish people with their mosques that he's going to, with their synagogues, he's going to close the doors, board them up, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. But through taxpayer dollars in New York City, he is providing 400,000 meals for the Muslims during Ramadan
right.
in New York City.
Right. People don't realize this is how Nazi Germany took over.
Yes.
This is how the Catholic Church killed hundreds of thousands of Protestants in the Dark Ages.
Yes.
Because they think they supersede, you know, the Constitution. And we're the only place, the shining light in the world, who still is fairly hanging on to the freedom that we have. And it'll go away if we don't claim it. So
yes, it will.
Continue on, sir. Bless you. God
Thank
bless you.
You. Thank you so much. Thank you for your encouragement and the words of inspiration and insight for our listeners today. God bless you today.
We thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. You're not going to like my call. You're probably going to bark at me. But my favorite theme is truth. And I got to be honest with you, I can't see us barking at the government. I mean, if a cop comes over to me and tells me to do something, I'm not going to question the officer's motive. I'm not going to question whether he's right or wrong. I'm going to obey him unless he asks me to do something that's, you know, not biblical or, you know, fattening, as the women would say. So I really can't see why we shouldn't obey the government when it comes to something like this. They're not asking us to do something that's unbiblical. If they are, you're going to have to tell me because I can't see it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's have a little dialogue for a moment of this. I appreciate your question, your honesty, and willingness to step forward, even though you're 100%, well, let's say 99% incorrect. That's all right. We will talk with you anyway. But you said that you're willing to obey what the police officer says. What if the police officer, you've done nothing wrong, but he comes up and he says, I'm going to arrest you and put you in the back of my car. You say, yes, sir, I'm willing to do that. Take me to jail, put me in jail, let me stay there until you decide that you're going to let me out. Anything wrong with that picture? You have what's called a Bill of Rights. We have what is called our Constitution. And the Constitution and Bill of Rights, if you would go back even before it was written for us in our National Constitution and Bill of Rights, we have the Bible and the Word of God. I've been talking about that today. Daniel, for example, was told that he could not pray.
Preacher, let me interrupt for a second. You kind of mixed your question there.
No.
You said, well, what do you – well, can I answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to obey what the police officer told me to do. I mean, what's my option? Not to obey them? But if they throw me in jail, I'm going to get a lawyer, and I'm going to go it, you know, the legal way. I'm not going to be rebellious, so I'm going to do it the legal way.
Have I said anything where we're supposed to disobey the law of the land? I say that we need to confront civil government when it is antithetical to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, and our Constitution says, we have the right to open our churches, preach and teach the Word of God.
Under all circumstances?
Have you read your Bill of Rights? Does it say then the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, except for the coronavirus? Does it say that? Answer my question. Does it say that?
No, of course not.
It does not. Therefore, there is no caveat in our Bill of Rights in the right to, to assemble together. First of all, the right and the religious liberties that we have. And secondly, for the right to keep and bear arms. There's no caveat.
So, but that's not a peaceful... So what was the term you used? In other words, if you go to church and your people are in church and the cops come and they arrest everybody, are you going to rebel against the police and fight them?
No, let them arrest me, put me in jail. I'll have a big old suit and I'll collect a big old reward for it, if you want to put it that way. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if they have a warrant to come in the door, if a law enforcement goes to any church door and says, I want to come in, I'm going to stop the services, as Bill de Blasio did in New York in stopping a Jewish funeral service, he was brazen enough to walk in personally and demand that they leave. They need to put together a big old class action suit against Bill de Blasio, because that's illegal, that's ungodly, unholy, unconstitutional, and unbiblical. I'm talking about taking our liberties back that God has given us, codified in our Constitution, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court. We need to be carried out by the citizens in the United States of America today. Daniel, when the order was signed, the scripture says in Daniel 6:10, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that's the law, he went into his house, and his windows being opened at the chambers toward Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God as he had before time. That means he kept on doing what God had told him to do.
Right. Anytime God tells you to do something, then you should obey it. But it's
absolutely. That's my whole point, brother. I'm not trying to say that we need to have anarchy. I'm not trying to say we need to crush the government. I'm not trying to say we need to thumb our nose at a police officer. I've got five in my family that's in law enforcement. I'm not saying that at all. Mm-hmm. I am saying that we need to disobey, confront civil government when they try to in some way sequester us and quarantine us and said you can't go out of your house, you can't have the church, you can't go to church, et cetera, et cetera. That's illegal, ungodly, unholy, and unconstitutional. But thank you for your call and for your insight on that. Keep on keeping on serving the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what the Bible says in relationship to what is the authority that's given to us, it's the authority based on the Word of God. Peter and others, the apostles, were told, you can't get out on the street and preach. That was their church. They were preaching street preachers, but that was their church in their preaching on the street corner. They were told, you can't do that. They were beaten and thrown in jail, just as our previous caller talked about. Yes, they were arrested. Yes, they were put in jail. And they probably, if you'd use it in the vernacular today, they were fined. They were ticketed and charged a fine. They were let out and told, now don't you do that again. You go out and be good boys, and don't you get on the street corner and preach again. And they did, and they were challenged and chided by the civil government. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Ladies and gentlemen, so what is the principle of this? God's word, our Constitution, provides that we have guidelines for living, and we have religious liberties and freedoms, our constitutional freedoms, to confront our government. That is what it says in the First Amendment, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It is the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. And that's what we see taking place today across America with the truck and car vans and with the people demanding that we be given the right to open up and continue to do our business and to serve God and to have our church services. Ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when there's going to be a requirement in America for forced testing and forced vaccinations. Government's going to say do it. The question is, are you going to do it? What is the stand then? Do we simply say, yes, sir, government, because you've got a badge? Yes, sir, government, because you say so? No. We need to make a decision on what we want to do based on the authority of the Word of God and our constitutional freedoms. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.